51 men of all ages, professions, and social backgrounds. All found guilty of raping and sexually abusing Gisèle Pélicaud, who was drugged and handed over by her husband to strangers for over 10 years. The Pélicaud rape trial put sexual violence at the heart of public debate in France. An extraordinary case, raising important questions about male responsibility. It has prompted serious soul-searching among some men.
Am I like one of those men? Am I part of this dynamic, directly or indirectly?
Welcome to this circle of gentle men. This evening's topic is the impact that the Pélicaud trial may have had on each of us.
At the circle of gentle men, there's one important rule: no interrupting each other. Participants take the soft toy when they want to speak.
There were men who could have been my brother, my mate, my father. And I'm thinking to myself, how could you walk out of there as if nothing had happened, as if you'd enjoyed yourself? How can you take any pleasure in manipulating and exploiting a woman's body?
The idea is to create a space which fosters a healthier dialogue, far from the locker room or boys' club atmosphere.
I was already aware that a lot of men are rapists, but this awareness has gone up a notch and it's even changed something. Today, I include everyone here. When I see a guy, I imagine him raping someone.
Participants are invited to look in the mirror and analyze their own behavior. This time, they're talking about their first sexual encounters.
The sex education I received was a book like this, in A4 format, with a lot of diagrams, loads of drawings. And then you had to get on with it. Then, of course, it did come up in conversation, but in the form of jokes, really dirty ones, smutty, disgusting jokes, sexist ones, jokes that made fun of sex.
My sex life started by sleeping with a girl that I didn't really want to sleep with. I think because I hadn't really thought about my own desire, my relationship with my body. Was I consenting to my own behavior? What is my desire really based on? How can I understand someone else's desire if I don't understand my own? I realized that when it comes to consent, I really hadn't done the work. It was the first time I had a long-term relationship with someone. That's when I realized that I was capable of putting pressure on this girl, who I was very, very much in love with, who didn't want it as much as I did. I put pressure on her because I didn't understand that even though she had given me her consent once, I had to ask her again, every time. It was totally, totally foreign to me. And in fact, I wasn't the one putting that pressure on her. It was a social pressure that I transferred to our relationship, which was that we were a couple, we were in love, therefore we had to screw. And the moment I stopped talking about my romantic relationships to my male friends, I felt totally free of any pressure.
They also discuss stereotypes associated with masculinity and the peer pressure they experienced from an early age.
As soon as we went beyond our chats about football and talked about our romantic relationships, how evolved we were as men about work and all that, well, then I had a huge, enormous amount of disagreements. And in fact, if I wanted to be accepted by my football buddies, I had to go along with them, because otherwise I wouldn't be considered one of them.
Since the Pélicaud trial, there are more of these kind of discussion groups, encouraging men to educate themselves about sexual violence. But it's still only a minority of men who are really exploring the issue.
One of the factors that makes it very hard for men to question themselves is the existence of a masculine identity and what it actually brings us. The conformism is put in place from the age of 4, 5, or 6, and it shows us how to become men and how to build our identity in opposition to that of women. It provides us with a form of psychological security. But the downside is that intense sense of loyalty to the group and the fact that if we question masculinity, we could be excluded.
On peut en être exclu.
The trial was shocking because of the sheer number of men involved, but also because of the profile of the rapists, who were considered to be ordinary men. Many men reacted on social media with the slogan, "Not all men."
The process of trying to explain the "not all men" phenomenon is to say, yes, there are monsters, but they're monsters, they're not men. Normal men wouldn't do that. And behind that, we're going to stick to our regular position of, no, I'm okay, I'm fine, I don't have to question myself.
But for the podcaster Cédric Rostin, all men are responsible to a greater or lesser extent.
Bienvenue sur Papatriarcat, le podcast qui réfléchit à la parentalité au XXIe siècle pour l'affranchir du modèle patriarcal.
Last September, he published an Instagram post where he took his share of responsibility in the rape culture, encouraging other men to do the same.
The not all men thing for me demonstrated a huge misunderstanding of the issue, because in fact, when women write all men, they know very well that not all men have raped women. There's no debate there, nobody's saying that. In fact, the real message is that for it to be systemic to that extent, there has to be some level of participation. When I laugh at Uncle Roger's sexist jokes, when I let a mate at the football club talk trash about what he did to some girl the night before, at the club or whatever, well then I'm part of it. I'm part of the fact that when I encounter those people making those comments, I validate the fact that this person can go up a notch. That's what rape culture is. Progressively, behavior is validated, and at times that escalates and goes as far as rape and even femicide.
As a father of two, including a son, Cédric says that creating new standards of masculinity for the younger generation is key.
Today, we're asked to educate young boys, and that's something we have to do. And it absolutely has to be a responsibility that doesn't just fall on the shoulders of mothers and women. It's important to make that clear. But what kind of model do we show them? What examples of healthy masculinity are we offering young boys today? I think it's important because I know that this is a discussion I've had with children close to me, young men close to me, who have turned to masculinists in return.
In January 2025, France's High Council for Equality sounded the alarm about the rise of misogynist tendencies and macho behaviours, especially among young men.
Masculinists tend to target young people a little more, people who feel a bit lost in the face of these different models, between the model of a totally deconstructed manhood in which they find it hard to recognize themselves, where they feel guilty, and the model of masculinists who have even created programs about how to become a man. There's this reaction where, when looking for an answer to this complex phenomenon, there's a tendency to go back to a simplistic response, a caricature of the traditional model of the representation of men and women, where each gender has a very well-defined role.
A certain acceptance of sexual abuse is also becoming normalized among young people. According to a recent study, one in three 18 to 24-year-olds considers that forcing their partner to have sex despite them resisting is not rape. These figures demonstrate the importance of education on sexuality and consent. The problem is that in France, less than 15% of students receive the mandatory three sessions of sex education in secondary school.
Souvent, ça se centre essentiellement sur...
Quite often the focus is on reproduction, or at the moment, overcoming stereotypes, which is certainly interesting, but perhaps not sufficient. Because what are most young people looking for? They're looking to understand the questions prompted by their bodies, which are changing with puberty. And their only source, unfortunately, are screens, social networks, or porn, which then becomes the only element in constructing their identity around sexuality.
Educating young people about sexuality early leads to greater awareness from the get-go, especially during their student years.
Good morning, everyone. Who's this for?
Lilou.
Oh, so cute.
That's why the Paris Student Union is distributing a free illustrated guide to sexuality to students.
It's great to see guys educating themselves, because we also need you to move forward.
The author of the guide, Charline Vermont, has come to lift taboos with the students in person.
Yeah, we have guys, guys! I'm here for you if you have comments or questions.
It's true that as men, we aren't really interested. Well, much less so than girls.
I've been asked what I think of men who educate themselves. I tell them it's the minimum, right?
I don't think we deal with the subject directly enough, because when you're young, you're not mature enough to understand the issues, and then when you're older, you live with women all your life. So it's important to know what their problems are, how to deal with them, and to respect them.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. I'm off again. Let's go.
The sexual health expert reaches out to young men, even the most reluctant.
Men and women make up society together, and I'd really like you to take responsibility. And honestly, it would be cool if you were our allies and we were really solid partners.
It's a little more widespread among men. We don't accept the same things anymore, but then, of course, old habits die hard. So it does require a lot of effort trying to curb that, and so we really have to keep up the fight.
Keep up the fight and work together, regardless of gender, to put an end to sexual violence.